You're listening to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis of Calvary Chapel San Clemente. On today's edition...
And like Pharaoh, you begin to understand that this is not just any God. This is not just a God. This is the God. The only God. But salvation doesn't come to you until you recognize that He's your God. You see, there's going to be a lot of people that recognize God. I believe in God, but they're not, He's not their God. They don't follow Him.
There's a distinct difference between believing there is a God and being a true follower of God. Just as in Pharaoh's day, people couldn't deny God's wonders and miracles. He made Himself apparent to everyone as He rescued His people out of Egypt. Still, many chose not to accept Him as their own God. Pastor Holland reminds us in his message today that making God your God is the first step to salvation. Although Jesus' gift is free and available to everyone, you must receive it. Let's join Pastor Holland in the book of Exodus chapter 12 as he begins his message, So Great is Salvation, Part 4.
Today we're going to talk about Passover, but by way of introduction, all of us are on a journey of grace, what I call a journey of grace. And it doesn't matter if you believe in God or not. It doesn't matter if you believe in the Bible or not. It doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus or if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God or not, because everyone is somewhere on this journey. Everyone is somewhere on this journey. And so all of us begins in separation from God, and everyone is born in separation. Man is born separated from God, and Egypt represents the world, which is separated. And so Egypt represents separation from God. However, when man recognizes this separation and calls out to God, calls out to the Lord, man is saved out of that separation. And that's what the book of Exodus is all about. And this moment where man is saved out of that separation is referred to as the moment of salvation. It begins with a decision that we make to become followers of Jesus. And this is represented by the Passover. This is what the Passover represents. And so those who believe the revelation of God, who receive it, those who are covered by the blood of the Lamb are saved. They're passed over from death to life. And so God delivers man from bondage to the world and leads man out of captivity, out of separation, through a power encounter. And that's what salvation is. It's a power encounter between darkness and light. Then, once we're saved, we're baptized. And that's represented by the crossing of the Red Sea. Man goes through that baptism. And after we're saved and baptized, then we're discipled. God takes us into this discipleship process, and is referred to as the wilderness experience. And so it's as they're journeying through the wilderness. And there are three primary things that we learn in the wilderness. And that is, first of all, we learn how to be led by the Spirit. You know, it's represented by God leading the nation of Israel with the cloud by day and the fire by night. And of course, you know, the analogy there is that they're walking through the desert. So the cloud by day is sheltering them. And the fire by night, you know, the desert evenings are very cold. And so the fire by night that's in the center of the camp, the fire is keeping them warm. And so God, through, as He's leading us by His Holy Spirit, He's taking care of us. You know, there's cloud cover, so we're not, you know, in the heat of the day, and we're not in the cold of the night. But we also learn how to trust God, to trust God to provide for us, and that's the manna. And we begin to see that everything that we have is a provision from God. And then the third thing we learn in the wilderness is how to worship the Lord. And it's represented by the tabernacle that is going to be explained in the book of Leviticus. The other thing that happens in the wilderness is unbelief is exposed. Whatever you don't believe about God in your life is going to be exposed during this time. This is the battle that takes place in the mind. It's interesting that in the wilderness, there are no enemies. There are no enemies. So many people talk about the spiritual battle in the wilderness. There are no enemies in the wilderness. The enemy is unbelief. Do you believe God? Do you trust God? Or do you not believe him? If you don't believe him, then you do what the children of Israel did. What did they do? They complained. They whined. They moaned. They groaned. Oh, I hate this life. This is so terrible. I wish I was back in the world. I wish I was back in Egypt. And so it's not a battle over sin, it's a battle over belief. And unbelief will keep us from entering into the promises of God. And it brings an interesting principle that you can be saved, you can have this Passover experience, and yet never enter into the promised land. Because there's a whole generation of people that died in the wilderness. They never went past the elementary things of walking in the faith. They never stepped into the abundant, spirit-filled life because of unbelief. And there are many churches that never talk about the abundant, spirit-filled life because they don't believe in it. They simply don't believe that it's for us today. And so the Bible says they could not enter into the land because of unbelief. Those who believe enter into that abundant, spirit-filled life. Now, the crossing of the Jordan into the promised land represents the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is a second baptism, a second experience that is separate from salvation. And so you have the first being the baptism with water, which is referred to as the baptism of repentance by John the Baptist. And that's what we often talk about. You know, you must kind of announce into the world that you're no longer in the world. You're now following Jesus. You're no longer in Egypt. You're now moving towards the land of promise. And so, but the second baptism was referred to by Jesus. This is the baptism of Jesus. And this is what John said when he said, I baptize you with water, but there is someone coming after me that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so that's the baptism of Jesus. And that's what many people have not yet experienced, is the baptism of Jesus, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to be witnesses. And after this second baptism, after they cross over the Jordan, then they cross into the land, which is an interesting analogy because Jesus said that when you receive power, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be what? My witnesses. You'll receive power to represent me in the land. And so as they go into the land of Canaan, into the promised land to take the land, they are now representing the kingdom of God, the King of God. And under Joshua's leadership, they take the land. And as the land is being taken, the kingdom of God is being established in the land. The Bible calls this process sanctification. And this is where the real spiritual battle takes place. This is where many believers really enter into real warfare, because it's during this time that God begins to drive out the presence of the enemy out of our lives. Everywhere, every pocket of unbelief, every area where you're holding on to anything, the Lord just begins to drive it out. He defeats strongholds. He attacks strongholds of the enemy in our life, and he begins to establish health and wholeness. Health and wholeness, a way to live that is brings wholeness, which is what holiness is. Holiness is walking in wholeness. You know, it's letting go of everything that keeps us from following Jesus and loving him. Everywhere that Jesus preached, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has come upon you. And so with every miracle, every healing, every salvation, Jesus was demonstrating the power of the kingdom of God over the power of the kingdoms of this world, defeating the enemies of sickness, demonic oppression, death, and blindness, and everything else that he came to defeat. And then Jesus does something interesting. He sends out his disciples to do the same thing. First he sends the 12, then he sends the 70, and then ultimately he says to all of us, all of you go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. What is he establishing? His kingdom. He's establishing the rule of his kingdom. And if you don't understand the concept of the kingdom, if you don't understand the concept of the kingdom of God, then you're going to have a hard time understanding the Old Testament. Because you're going to wonder, why is God so mean? Why is he out just bullying people, you know, driving people out of the land? Why is he being such a tough guy to all these guys? And you're going to have a hard time understanding God's judgment against the surrounding nations, because the battle was primarily spiritual. And what God was doing was he was delivering mankind from the tyranny of demonic control and perversion that had come into the land. And so today we're going to look at the beginning point of salvation, the moment that we are delivered out of the land of darkness and brought into the glorious light of Jesus Christ. And this moment of salvation is represented by the Passover. And there are two things that God does in the Passover. He takes back what belonged to him, because the earth is the Lord's and all that is within it. The second thing he does is he destroys the power of all of his enemies, which are all the gods of Egypt. He completely wipes them out, destroys them, and makes an open embarrassment of them in the way he does it.
Worship Life Radio with Holland Davis will continue right after this.
Hi, this is Holland Davis, and I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel in San Clemente. And I just want to take a moment and invite you to come and visit us at one of our Sunday morning services or to our midweek Bible study. Calvary Chapel San Clemente is a Jesus people community right here in the city of San Clemente, California. You know, we identify with our roots in the Jesus movement because that's where I came to Christ. And of course, that's where Calvary Chapel was born. When you come to our church, you're going to find a church that loves to worship the Lord with song. We love to study God's word verse by verse, and we love to share the love of God with other people. If that's the kind of church you're looking for, consider visiting us. You can find out all about us online at calvarysanclemente.org. We look forward to worshiping with you soon, and may God richly bless you.
Now, let's continue with today's edition of Worship Life Radio.
The significance of the Passover. You know, God announces the final plague against Pharaoh and Egypt in Exodus chapter 12. And look at verse 12. It says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." And so the final plague is a plague of death. And this plague of death touches every home in Egypt. Every home. The Bible says that there was not a house where there was not one dead. And it goes on to suggest that, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. Death is going to come to everyone. It doesn't matter if you're the richest man in the world. It doesn't matter if you're the most powerful man in the world. It doesn't matter if you're the most kind person or the most charitable or the most giving person. It doesn't even matter if you're the vilest criminal in the world. You can be locked up in jail. Every person is going to be touched by death. Every person. But God instructs the children of Israel on how to be saved from death. How do we escape this death sentence? And they were to take a male lamb and slaughter the lamb on the 14th day on the month of Aviv and apply the blood of the lamb on the two doorposts and the lintel, you know, so you have the two sides and you have the post that is over the door. And when the angel of death passed through Egypt, every household that had the blood on the doorway of the house was saved from death. And so they were passed over. And so that's the name, that's how we get the name Passover. They were passed over. And so Passover represents the moment of salvation. God has been telling them, right? God has been warning them. God has been revealing himself to them, but telling them, get ready, because you're going to be delivered out of this land. And now is the time when salvation is going to come to them, and they're going to be delivered out from under the curse of death and from the bondage to sin. It represents the moment that each one of us are born again, that moment of being born again. And that is the significance of Passover. It's the born again experience. When we talk about what does it mean to be born again, this is what it means to be born again. Passover highlights for us God's requirement for man to be saved. It requires the blood of an innocent lamb. An innocent lamb. Now, the significance of the lamb. Why a lamb? Well, in verse 3 of chapter 12, we can read together, it says, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." Now, there's a progression here in the language, and I want you to see it. If you notice here in verse 3, God says, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, a lamb. And then in verse 4, a lamb becomes the lamb. And then in verse 5, the lamb becomes your lamb. You know, when God began to introduce himself to Pharaoh, when God began to reveal himself to Pharaoh, Pharaoh didn't know God. He says, "I don't know this God of yours." He didn't know Joseph, and he didn't know the God of Israel. God to him was just one of the gods. He was a god. There's lots of gods in the world, right? There's the God of Buddha. There's the God of Muhammad. There's the God of the Hindus. Everybody has a god. We all worship God in our own way. And so who am I to say that your God is wrong? That's your religion. And that's why when we get together, we never talk about politics or religion or sports. Everybody has their own God. But then you have an encounter with God. And like Pharaoh, you begin to understand that this is not just any God. This is not just a God. This is the God, the only God. But salvation doesn't come to you until you recognize that he's your God. You see, there's going to be a lot of people that recognize God. I believe in God, but they're not, he's not their God. They don't follow him. They're not part of him. You know, when you bring the lamb into your home, the lamb becomes part of your life. And from the 10th of Aviv to the 14th of Aviv, you know, he's one of the family. You're feeding the lamb. You're taking care of the lamb. You become attached to the lamb. And that's when the lamb becomes your lamb. There's a lot of churches, a lot of religions that say we believe in the God, but he's not their God. They haven't brought him into their lives. They haven't brought them into their home. They're not tending after the things of God. They're not looking after the things of God. And that's when the lamb becomes your lamb. Not just a lamb, not just the lamb, but your lamb. Notice also that the lamb must be without blemish, that there's no marks, no defects, that the lamb has to be perfect. It had to be a male of the first year. And Paul refers to Jesus as our Passover lamb, using this symbolic language here. And we see in Jesus the requirements of the Passover lamb, that he was, in fact, meeting every requirement. First of all, he was male. Now, I know there's a lot of controversy about that. There's even people that are suggesting that God is neither male nor female, you know, and that maybe God is a she. If you read the Shack, God was a large black woman. But it was very clear in Scripture, he was to be a male. And Jesus was male. Second, he was without blemish. John said, in Jesus was no sin. And Paul said about Jesus, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, that Jesus knew no sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And so Jesus was without blemish. He was perfect. He never experienced sin in his life. And yet he became sin, our sin, and paid the price for our sin. He was of the first year. Well, you might say, well, how so? How was he of the first year? I mean, he was 33 years old. That's not 1 year old. He wasn't 1 year when he died. How was he of the first year? Well, it's very interesting when you get into the language. And as I've said many times, in order to rightly divide the word of truth, you need to get into the language. You need to collect all of the understanding that is in the language, in the Greek and in the Hebrew. And in both the Greek and the Hebrew, there are many layers of understanding. And so it's a lifelong pursuit to study the Scriptures. But the Bible says that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. And the Greek word that is used for firstborn is protokos. A proto meaning first, and tokos, which is interesting because it can mean born, firstborn, but it also means interest on money loan. Interest on money loan. So he's the first interest on money loaned. What is money loaned? It's a debt. So what is Jesus? Jesus is the payment on the interest for the debt. You understand? Are you getting it? The Hebrew word for first year here is ben sana. And this word is used in reference to the year of Jubilee. It's one of the words that is used in reference to the year of Jubilee when all debts are canceled. All debts are released. So follow closely the meaning here in this concept of being the first year. Because in this concept of being of the first year is the payment for man's freedom by God himself. So Jesus is of the first year. First, Jesus is the payment that releases all debts. That's the Hebrew concept in Ben Sana. And second, Jesus is the payment that pays the interest that is due because of your debts. That's the Greek concept. So think of it like this. Not only does Jesus pay for what you did, but he pays for the consequences of what you did. The things that you caused because of what you did. I hope you enjoyed the program today. You know, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, there's going to be a day when all of us are going to stand before Jesus, and only those who have surrendered their life to him will spend eternity with him. Don't you want to be part of those that spend eternity with Jesus in heaven? You can pray this simple prayer and mean it with all your heart. Just say, "Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I confess that you have raised from the dead. Forgive me of all my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live for you all the days of my life." If you've prayed that prayer, then I can say with assurance that you will be saved on that day.
Thanks for tuning in today to Worship Life Radio. We're so glad you were able to join us for a time of Bible study, and we pray it's been a blessing to you. If you'd like to hear more messages from Pastor Holland, you can find them online at calvarysanclemente.org. There, you'll also learn about Calvary San Clemente, the church behind this ministry. We'd love for you to join us for worship this weekend, either in person or online. Find all the information you need on our website. Again, that's calvarysanclemente.org. As we wrap up today's message, we'd like to offer an opportunity for you to partner with us in spreading the good news of the gospel. Would you join us in praying for those listening with you to Pastor Holland's message? Pray for ears to be open and hearts to be turned toward the truth and love of Jesus, and pray for salvation to be found by many. Would you pray too about supporting the ministry of Worship Life Radio through financial giving? We use every amount given, no matter the size, for this program and expanding its reach. Thanks for praying about this. If you're ready to give or would like more information, visit calvarysanclemente.org. How can we be praying for you? It's our honor to encourage and pray for you, so please connect with us. You can email at info@calvarysanclemente.org or call us 949-228-9117. Again, that's 949-228-9117. That's all for today. Join us next time for more right here on Worship Life Radio.
Have you ever wondered what it means to be saved? What are you saved from? Is salvation only about going to heaven? Pastor Holland's message series, So Great a Salvation, will answer these questions and help you discover the rich, abundant life salvation brings. Order your personal copy of So Great a Salvation at worshipliferadio.com.